Thank you. So I'm going to be talking about improving the skills and maintaining the skills and competencies of frontline health workers. But as my predecessor was talking a health facility level, I'm going to be situated a little bit more peripherally. And outside the health facility. I'm going to be talking especially about how to maintain the skills and competencies of community health workers. At the health facility level, the oversight mechanisms that usually are used are somehow related to accreditation, certification, but at the community level, even though that we're currently using more and more the community health workers, we haven't really found a way of how to assure that the skills and competencies that we need for them to maintain over time are maintained. So given this limitation, and especially in a context of rural South Sudan, we came to the conclusion that we needed to focus on how to build up a model by which we could maintain and transfer the skills and maintain them over time for the community health workers. So we know that more and more countries in the African, in the sub-Saharan Africa region, are starting to use integrated community case management. And as we know, community case management deals with the delivery of treatment of pneumonia, malaria, and diarrhea. So what we're saying is that we are task shifting some of the roles and responsibilities that previously facility-based health workers had. We're transferring those roles and responsibilities to personnel that in many cases is voluntary, and many times and most of the times doesn't really have a health background. And we know that currently, there is a treatment gap that we're trying to cover through community health workers. And this treatment gap, it's somehow big. What we're talking about is 500 million cases per year. 500 million, only in pneumonia, the gap is 20 million of pneumonia cases. So we're talking about 20 million treatments with antibiotics. So we're talking about 117 million treatments with antimalarials. And we're saying that we don't have a way of assuring that community health workers, we don't really have an oversight mechanism to assure that their skills and competencies are maintained over time. So something is wrong at the global level. If we go and do some research about supervision mechanisms, because when we're talking about community health workers, most of the time what we hear is about supervision mechanisms in order to oversight the skills and competencies of this cadre. But when we do some research on the current documentation, we're gonna find that most of the documentation on supervisory or supervision mechanisms are mostly done at the health facility level, and very few documentation exists for community health workers. And we know, as we say, as we mentioned before, with the magnitude of case treatments that we are planning to cover with CHWs, we know that we need to come up with some sort of a solution, some sort of a model, some sort of a mechanism to maintain, to transfer the knowledge and then to maintain that knowledge, skills and competencies over time. So in South Sudan, it's been considered the most fragile state in 2015. South Sudan, according to the World Bank, has pretty high rates of people living on their poverty line, 51% in the whole country. In Warap State, where we did this research, almost more than 60% of people is living under the poverty line. Also, only 16%, 16% of the population is literate. So what we found in this population of community health workers is that we have to deal with people with no health background, but more than that, with no literacy skills. So we had to transfer the skills and competencies to provide community case management to people who didn't know how to read and write. South Sudan has the worst maternal mortality ratio in the whole world. It's higher than 2,000 per 100,000 maternal death. So with this type of maternal mortality and infant mortality and under 5 mortality, South Sudan has less than one physician per 60,000 people. Here in the United States, the ratio is 1 to 417. So obviously, with that lack of human resources for health in this context, a lot of the delivery of services is being done by people who doesn't have a health background and in many cases do not know how to read and write. So we knew that in order for us to have a decent way of delivering health services through community health workers, we needed to come up with some sort of a model for supervision. We started to do the literature research, and we came with some models that were mainly developed for health facility workers. And we found a model that was developed by Proctor in 1987, which is a three-function interactive model. And it has mainly three components, the supervision model. It has a formative component, which is mostly focused on the skills development and knowledge retention. The other component of that model is normative supervision, which mainly addresses the skills and the equipment management that the health worker needs to have, because it's not only about the skills, it's also about the equipment and the supply management that they need to have in place in order to provide the service. And the other one is the restorative component, which mostly deals with the improved satisfaction of the health worker. So we adapted this model, and we developed some tools that we needed to have in place in order to implement the model. Some of the tools for the formative components were adapted to the level of literacy of this population of health workers, and there were also recording forms for children under 5 and for newborns, because we integrated a newborn intervention into this community case management approach. And also, we started to use a weekly checklist to assess the competencies and the skills that they needed to have in place. So the whole approach was 1 week training in which we transferred the skills and competencies that they needed to have in order to provide services, and then we integrated into the training on-the-job training for 3 months. So on a weekly basis, they would receive a supervision visit from a supervisor, and through this checklist, they would be assessing not only the maintenance of these skills, but also the acquisition of the skills. By the end of the first week, all the community health workers went through a certification test. And by the end of the 3 months of weekly visits, the certification test was again given to them. The restorative tools were mainly focused on the referral forms. We were trying to link these community health workers to the formal health system, and in that way receiving some of the support that they would need in order to provide their services from the Ministry of Health. So we used a descriptive case study design to assess this supervision model. The information was prospectively collected, and the sources of information included a weekly virtual meeting. There was a Skype meeting between a central supervisor and a field supervisor during these 3 months. There was also a weekly monthly supervision field report, and there were a data collection from the supervision checklist and health recording forms. What we found during 13 months of implementation is that all these certified community health workers, they saw a total of 2,552 children. And we found also that during the period of the highest number of children that were attended, and this is 49% of the total, these would correlate with the seasonal floods during the 2012 and the seasonal peak of malaria cases. During this period also, the overall referral initiation rate was 73%, and the completion rate of referrals was 92%. We also applied WHO's approach to calculate the beneficiary coverage capacity of this cadre, and we found an average total population coverage capacity of 98.1 children under 5 per CHW per year. So when we calculated the time that each CHW invested per week, the result was that every single CHW was investing 2 hours per week in seeing these children for a total of 65 hours per year. So we were supposed to do 310 targeted supervision visits, but we only accomplished 232. Which is it's equal to 75% of the supervision visits that we were supposed to be doing. The supervisor to supervisee ratio utilized 1 in 10, and despite this ratio, only 3/4 of the supervision visits were done. So this questioned the feasibility of using higher ratios of supervisor supervisee. And the other thing is that one aspect clearly highlighted during this experience was the need to establish a supervisor-supervisee ratio based on contextual variables, such as population density, transport availability, and seasonal rural conditions, among others. 87% of the CHWs were certified as competent, to deliver ICCM Plus after 12 weeks. So and we found only a 7% discrepancy between illness classification and treatment. The registration completion rate, as I said, was 92%, and there were zero stockouts during this 13 month of implementation. So what do our results mean? Overall, we were able to have a cadre of CHWs that were able to deliver key MNCH practices. And we know that the supervision process within a community case management strategy is important. The supportive supervision immediately after training it was key for us to maintain and to transfer those skills and competencies during this model. The recommendation is that, of course, supervision should be an integral part of community health worker programs. When we're talking about 5 million treatments per year, 500 million treatments per year, supervision, the assurance of health quality is a must. It's not something that we can obviate in our CHW's programs, especially when governments are more and more implementing this type of service delivery through community health workers. We know that this case study has limitations in order to extend the results to other geographical areas. So we need to further this evidence and try to obtain data through a control group study design. Thank you.